In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Finally, at last, a sanctification text. They've been telling us we need to be preaching more sanctification sermons. And so at last, here it is in black and white, bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Prove yourself one of Jesus' disciples by busying yourself with good works. You can't deny it. It's in red letter text. Jesus said it. No, Jesus commands it. Or does he? It's true, in our text today, we have commands and we have promises. And it's easy, even tempting, to get them mixed up with one another. There is a command in our text today, but it's not to bear fruit. Bearing fruit is what Jesus promises is going to happen if his command is kept. So what is his command? It's clear as a bell in verse 4. Abide in me. Abide in me. When that is done, when you abide in Jesus, you will bear fruit. Jesus promises. With all the talk about fruit in these verses, it's easy to think about what we have to do. What do we have to do to please God? And the answer is, bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Well, Pastor, you know, sin less. Be more holy. Do all the things God wants you to do. And none of the things that God doesn't want you to do, because if you're not bearing fruit, you will be cut off, thrown into the fire, and burned. Serious business, this bearing fruit. And so we try. We really better try with all of our might. We try to clean up our lives. We try to fly straight as we can. We try to stay on that straight and narrow, to not do the thou shalt nots, and do the thou shalt. We try to obey all the commands. We try really hard to bear all kinds of good fruit. But what happens when we try? Two things. Either we become proud of the progress we think we're making, or we despair because we're not really making any progress at all. No progress at all, because no matter how hard we try, deep down, we know we're just not cutting it. One way or the other, or whipsawn between the two. Feeling really great about ourselves one day, and the next day plunged into utter despair, our progress, all of our fantastic progress, wiped out instantly by some rotten indiscretion we swore we'd never do again, and then we catch ourselves doing it again. In reality, it doesn't really matter. Either way, we end up in the same place, apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, thinking that we can do it, of course with a little spiritual bump from Jesus, you know, we wouldn't want to leave that out. Or thinking that it can't be done at all. And that's what happens when you focus on the fruit. Focus on the fruit. Focus on the good works. Focus on the sanctified life, and the fruit becomes your idol, and it robs you of your life. So is the impious Pastor Hodel saying bearing fruit isn't important? Is Pastor Hodel saying that good works aren't necessary? Is Pastor Hodel saying there's no such thing as a sanctified life? Has Pastor Hodel become so despairing, so cynical after 30 plus years in the ministry that he's just plain given up altogether? No. Bearing good fruit is important. Jesus talks about it 6 times in these few verses. Right before his death, he's talking about it. Bearing fruit is important to Jesus, and not just bearing it, but bearing an abundance of fruit. So if it's important to Jesus, it better be important to us. But only in the right context. Remember, bearing fruit isn't the command here. It's the promise. It's a promise that's meant to comfort us. It's a promise that's meant to encourage us in this life. Abide in Christ, and He in you, and you will produce fruit that is pleasing to your Father in heaven. That's a promise. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Another way to say this is producing fruit isn't so much a matter of what you do, but of who you are. So the question is, who are you? Now, you could answer that question in a whole lot of ways. You could talk about what you do and define yourself by that. Or who you're married to, or where you came from, who your parents were, what your hobbies are. But boil it all the way down to who you truly are, and you've already answered that question this morning. Of all the things you can truly say about yourself, one thing you can say is, who am I? I'm a sinner. You can say that about yourself, and I can certainly say that about myself. Sinners. Not just in what we do, but in what we are. We're not sinners because we sin, and if only we would get rid of the sins, then we'd no longer be sinners. No. We sin because we're sinners through and through. And the fruit that sinners just naturally produce is bad, rotten, polluted fruit, which is in reality worse than bearing no fruit at all. But when sinful branches are grafted onto a good and holy true vine, when he abides in you and you in him, something happens. You are a forgiven sinner. And through that forgiveness, you become something altogether different, something other than what you were before. You become a child of God. Not because of what you've done, but because of what your Savior has done for you. He offered His life in your place. So you see, it's not about what you do, but about what He did for you. Baptized into Him, you died to sin with Him, and to a new life you were raised with Him. You've been born again as a living branch on a true vine, a good branch bearing the good fruits of repentance and faith because of who you have been grafted into. Jesus is saying all this the night before his crucifixion. Jesus isn't giving his disciples a bunch more commands here to fulfill. He's teaching them the significance of what is taking place right before their very eyes. He's teaching them what his crucifixion means. Not just death for him, but life for us. And now, because of who you are now in Jesus, you will bear fruit. Jesus promises it will happen just as naturally as it happened that you bore bad fruit when you weren't in Christ. You will bear fruit because your heavenly Father will see to it. He's the vine dresser. He doesn't just graft us into his Son and then leave us on our own. Grafted to Jesus, he continues to care for you just as the vine dresser cares for the branches that he or she has grafted into the rootstock. Oh, and another thing, think about it. Branches, cuttings, don't just one day figure out that they need to be grafted to rootstock. They just lay there. The vine dresser does that. And so where and when were you grafted to the true vine? When you accepted Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior? When you cleaned up your life? When you started doing more good works than bad ones? It happened when you, like a lifeless branch, were grafted to the vine, and like a branch, you had no say in it at all. If you think about it, he wouldn't leave something that important up to you anyway. You'd never do it if it was left up to you. Grafted to Christ in the holy waters of baptism, he now feeds you with the body and blood of his Son, that you would grow in your faith and be strengthened and produce the fruits that he desires. And when the challenges and the struggles and the troubles of this world drag you down, he lifts you up in his strength and in his peace. Oh, not that the troubles go away, but even in them, he assures you that he is with you always and he will never leave you. He waters you with the forgiveness that Christ speaks into your ears so that you will grow healthy and not wither under the heat and the oppression of this dark world, the devil, and our sins. When you become a wild branch, overconfident in yourself, striking out on your own, not heeding the words of our Lord, he prunes you back that you would repent and rely on him and him alone. He lovingly ties us and binds us up with his word of truth that we would grow and produce not when and how you want to, but in line with his good will and favor. And when you're threatened by false or wrong beliefs or the disease of worldly wisdom seeks to pull you away from him, his grace and truth keep you in him and him in us, that you bear much fruit. And so our Father is pleased, not because we did it all and he didn't have to do anything, but because his love and care, his word and sacraments, his grace and forgiveness, because his work has produced in us exactly what he wanted produced. Fruit. His fruit. Not our fruit that we bring to him, but his fruit that he produces through us. Maybe it doesn't seem that way to you in your life. Maybe others, even yourself, are telling you, get busy, dear Christian, start producing fruit. Maybe you can't see any fruit. Maybe you're expecting the wrong kind of fruit. Maybe you're looking in all the wrong places for fruit. Well, you aren't the judge. He is. So rather than relying on what you see, rely on what you hear. Rely on his promise. His promise that those who abide in him, that's you, bear much fruit. What kinds of good fruit are you told that you should be producing? Should you be giving enough money to build hospital wings? Should you be volunteering 20 hours here at church each week? Should you be doing this, that, or the other thing? You fill in the blank. Not that those are bad fruit. And if that's what he is producing through you, great, bear that fruit. But what kind of fruit has he told us he desires to produce in us? For that answer, we can go to Scripture. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Well, those things may look small to the world. They may look unimpressive to us, but not to God. These fruits of faith are exactly what he wants to produce in you, and he has promised that he will. So do I just sit back and do nothing? No, are you kidding? This is a sanctification sermon, remember? You have a life. Go live it. You have a new life. Go live it. A life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all the ways that that good fruit manifests themselves in our lives. Loving the unlovable. Helping the homeless lady with what a latte might cost you. Speaking a word of encouragement to somebody who's down. Not repaying bad behavior toward you with resentment and anger, but repaying evil with good. Standing up for someone who can't stand up for themselves, from babies in a womb to children in Africa to someone who's had a stroke to those who have lost their voice in this deaf world. Welcoming the outcast, visiting the lonely, helping those in need, speaking of your Savior when the opportunity arises, lifting up other people in prayer. By this my Father will be is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Not that bearing this fruit makes us disciples, but that we are disciples, and proof of it is we're bearing his fruit, the good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But then, finally, there's that credit thing, isn't there? Getting recognition and reward for all of your work. It's built right into us. Worried about getting credit for your fruit and your works? Think again. If they're your works and your fruit you've produced, you don't want the credit for them because they're the fruit and the works of fallen man. Bad fruit, sin-filled works, and the wages for that fruit isn't so good. Thanks be to God, Christ Jesus our Savior took our credit for our sinful lives and died for it all. Worried about getting credit for good works and good fruit? Don't worry about it. You shouldn't get the credit for it anyway. They're not yours. They're his. But that's okay. Because although that part of ourselves, that fallen part of ourselves, wants credit and keeps score, the truth is we don't need any credit anymore. The kingdom ours remaineth. We've already got everything. By our good fruit, our Father is glorified. We're simply being who we are now. Sons, daughters, children, branches grafted to the true vine, abiding in Christ and He in us through the waters of His forgiveness, the word of His truth, and His body and blood that feeds and strengthens us. His life in us, and so our life in Him, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.